From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
So one is establish the culture of your family, your household. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Notice it doesn't say a woman. It says amen. Okay. That's not really biblical, but I just thought I'd throw it out, you know.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled, The Setting of a Culture, a message Pastor Wayne gave on Father's Day a while back. Pastor Wayne will show us the importance fathers play in setting the tone or the culture in their homes. That'll be coming up in just a moment, but today we have a few extra minutes, so let's join the family at New Hope for a time of worship.
When I do a song like this, there's an old man from England that used to come to my church, and he said, Doyle, when you play that guitar, minister to him on your guitar, and he'll minister to the people. And I never forgot that. He says, when you play to him. Because you don't have the power to heal anybody or to meet needs, but he does. And so I've learned to do that through the years, ministering to the Lord. Let's minister to him today.
Thank you.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Setting of a Culture.
Now, one of the things that the devil will do, and you got to hear this next thing, real important. One of the things the devil would love to do is to strip you of your authority so that you become passive, dads. And you can't do that. There is a divine authority that I want you to catch that God has given to men. Because the Lord says that you will be the head of your household, the priest of your home, as it were. And what the devil would love to do is cause you to be passive. Because if you don't use the authority that God's given to you, then he can ransack your house. It's sort of like if someone comes to your house and knock, knock, hello, can I steal you blind? Oh, okay. Well, what do you think the criminal's gonna do? Hey, he's gonna steal you blind. I'm gonna steal your wallet. Oh, okay, all right, go ahead. Yeah, no, you use your authority, say, get out of here, get out of here. And you call 911, hey, get Pastor Elwin out of here. You know, you use your authority. If you abdicate your authority, they'll steal you blind. Well, that's what the enemy wants you to do. In a spiritual way, abdicate, lay down your authority so he can come and ransack your house and fracture your family. And it's got to come to a time where we as men say, no more. See, passivity or being passive about things going wrong is exactly that. You abdicate an authority that God gives to you, a mantle of divine authority. It's in Numbers chapter 30. We have a story of where a woman makes a rash vow, it's called, like an ultimatum. And the husband says nothing. You know what the Bible says spiritually? The spiritual principles is if you do nothing, men, and you abdicate that authority that God's given to you, if you don't neutralize, as it were, step in and correct that, then that rash vow, like a word against whatever, it just kind of takes up residence and it starts to infect the fabric of the family. You've heard kids say, I hate my sister, or I hate that church, or I hate my teacher. And if a father just goes, well, whatever, that's, he's just into that, I don't know. And if you just stand by and let it go, those words will take up residence and there will be a disposition. There will be a contentious spirit that starts to develop in the home. There's one person that God has given the authority to neutralize that, and it's the father. And if you don't take that, you will sense that there is a funny, contentious kind of thing that happens on your family that actually moves into the fabric and it stains it and it permeates it with a stench. In fact, let's read it this way. You've got Numbers 30 and verse 8 there we'll read. Let me read 6 and 7 and then you read 8 with me. But let me give you a little context. Here it is. Numbers 30 and verse 6. Now, suppose a young woman takes a vow or makes an impulsive pledge in her home. And if her husband learns of this vow or pledge and raises no objections on the day that he hears it, her vow and her pledge will stand. Now, let's read your verse, go. But if on the day her husband hears of it and he forbids her, then he shall annul her vow, which she is under, and the rash statement of her lips by which she has bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. And listen to this. Now, every vow and every binding oath that comes to afflict her soul, her husband will either confirm it or make it void. You know what God is saying? Man, I'm going to give you a divine authority to not stand idly by, but to confirm or negate or nullify rash, impulsive vows, like ultimatums. And you've heard people say that. Let me give you a story. This, I asked my wife for permission to share this, my wife is an angel in disguise, and I think when I get to heaven, I'll find that she really was an angel, and because I don't think anyone else could tolerate me, and so God has to send a special envoy, but there's once in our life that I've seen her exasperated, and it was just an overload of house guests that we had that was living with us, young teenagers, and our kids were just moving towards adolescence, and everything was piling up, dishes, clothes, workload, everything, and then taking the kids to soccer and this and that. And one night, I guess all the dishes had piled up, And then we had asked Amy and Aaron to help clean or wash the dishes, and they were arguing with one another, like, no, I don't want to do it. It's your turn. No, it's your turn. No, it's your turn. I'm not doing it. It's your turn. And I guess Anna just heard all of that, and she just thought, oh, forget it. If you're going to fight like that, I'll do it. And she was real upset. And she said, I'll do it. Mom will do it. You guys get out of here. Like, no, no, no. And they're just kind of arguing. And she just got headed up to here. And I was just kind of standing passively by, which I shouldn't have. And she just came to a point of exasperation. She blurted something out. You know, sometimes you say things you don't really mean, but the words come out and people hear it. And she said, I just want out of this family, out of this family. And she stomped out of the room. And, you know, all of a sudden, all of us are like this, oh. Who's gonna do dishes now? <You know? laughs> And I thought, oh no, that we can't let that stand. It was a rash, impulsive vow. And so I went over there and gave her a hug, and I said, honey, you're tired. She said, you bet I'm tired. And I said, honey, you know what? You need a break, and I'll work with the kids. We're gonna have a powwow, and we're gonna work on this kitchen, get it taken care of. But you can say, I need a break, I need a vacation, or I even need to go to Ross and shop till I drop. I don't care. But one of the things you don't want to say is, I want out of this family. Because that's not an option. And that's not what you mean. That's not what you want to say. She said, no, that's not what I want to say. I'm just tired. I said, yeah. So we don't want to say that. We can say other things, but we don't want to say that. That's not your heart. Because God put us together as a family for our whole lifetime. Yeah, yeah. And so I said, let me work with the kids, and we'll work on that. And the kids are all listening, you know. So then we worked with the kids, and we got it all cleaned up. But, you know, I was thinking, if I would have let that go and let other things like that go, if kids hear, I want out of this family. Now, you just multiply that about 23 times because of the exasperation or frustrated moments between parents. You know what sinks deep into kids? A lack of confidence whether or not they're going to have mom and dad around for very long. And they live that way. And then they're afraid, and then they're hesitant. And then you got kind of have this effect where your worst dreams come to pass. What we want to do is build in our kids a trust in the Lord, and to make sure that we as parents are speaking rightly. And I'm speaking this to dads. Dads, it's our responsibility, not the wife, not the kids, our responsibility that God's given us a mantle to either let it go and it takes up residence and fractures our family little by little, or we have the power to nullify that, lovingly enforce those boundaries and nullify it. It's a spiritual mantle that God has given to us. And what the devil wants to do is have you not use that mantle, because that's the way he comes in and ransacks our families. How? By us not using the authority that God has given to us. So can I encourage you men that in this new season, know that God has given you a wonderful mantle of authority for good. Use it for good. Can you say amen, men? Amen. Say it a little stronger. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Notice it doesn't say a woman. It says amen. Okay. That's not really biblical, but I just thought I'd throw it out, you know. So one is establish the culture of your family, your household. And parents, we do that with our lifestyle, our words, our parameters, and nullifying or correcting wrong seeds and pulling them out. But the second is, would you write down number two, establish a faith that is natural in your family. Establish a faith that is natural. And when I say natural, it doesn't mean liberal. Doesn't mean diluted, doesn't mean fleshly. No, it means a faith that's not contrived, a faith that doesn't turn on, turn off when you need it and when it's convenient, not religious. It's something like that seeps into your heart. Let's read what it says here in Deuteronomy 6. Go. These words which I am commanding you today shall be where? On your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. Would you underline on your heart? The words I'm commanding you needs to be on your heart, not in your head. It has to be on your heart. In other words, God is saying this, men, when we speak to our sons and daughters, as we walk by the way, as we stand up and sit down, it should be as our faith, talking about our faith and things of God should be as natural as just talking about something that's on your heart. These words that I'm commanding you need to be on your heart, and you talk about them naturally. So it's not a contrived religious thing. It's just you talk about it along the way. It's just something you talk about. Just talk about it. And one of the greatest things to talk about along the way, when you stand up and when you sit down, is what God has done in your life, how He's delivered you, how He has helped you to grow as a person. When you ran into the wall, this is what God did. And so you can speak to a son and a daughter that runs into a wall. You can say, you know, when I ran into a wall, here's how God worked with me. And when you share it naturally, their respect for you does not diminish, it increases. When you share how you were in a pit and God brought you out and helped you, and you just speak about it naturally. In fact, let's read the next verse and see what that says. Go. And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? Then you shall say to him, with a powerful hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Yeah. You see, one of the most important things to remember is this. What's in you is what you will transfer. Not what's in your head. It's what's in your heart. Always remember, a mind may reach a mind, but only a heart will reach a heart. And we've got to reach the hearts of our family. And man, it's got to come from your heart. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So the word of God has to capture our hearts, because only a heart will reach a heart. Otherwise, we'll have kids that'll know what to do, but they don't have the heart to do it. Where'd they get that from? Us. You see, because you got to remember this, and would you write it in the bullet? You know, you can teach what you know, but ultimately, would you write down, you're going to reproduce what you are. You can teach what you know, but ultimately, you're going to reproduce what you are. What's in you? Remember, a mind will reach a mind, but only a heart will reach a heart. And that's why we have a lot of young people today that are great potential leaders, but they know what to do, they just can't do it. They don't have the heart to do it. And so they live an inconsistent life. But one of the things I want to do is establish a culture so it'll give our children the tendency to live genuinely. Now, a lot of them may rebel, but still I want to make sure that they've got that tendency to live consistently. And they will follow your footsteps. Some years ago when Aaron was about 4 years old, I was walking on the sands of Hanalei in Kauai. And it was just a beautiful morning, and I looked back, and here's this little boy. He was trying to match my footsteps in the sand. And I thought, that's funny to see how he does now. And I stretched out my footsteps to see how he would do it. And he just jumped in the one and jumped in the next. And I thought, you know, he's going to be doing that for a long time. And it's how I naturally walk is going to be what he's going to strive to become. So I got to make who I naturally am something that's good, because that's what he's going to strive to be. That's just how it is. And dads, you have men, even if you're not a father, listen. By the way, just to give you a sidebar here. Just because you have children doesn't mean you're a father. A father is someone who has a relationship with, of mentoring and discipling, and wants to leave a legacy behind. If you just got the right plumbing, you can sire kids. But siring kids doesn't make you a father. It's a big difference. Being a father is you're interested in caring for, discipling, and mentoring those who come after you. Otherwise, we sire children. We don't want that. We want to be fathers. And so whether you're a father or a single man, these lessons are so important. And I thought, you know what? Whatever I leave naturally is what those who come after me will strive for. So I've got to make sure that my faith is lived out naturally, because that's what they'll strive for. If I'm naturally bad, that's what they're going to strive for. They're going to be like that. I remember there's a kid, the story of a kid. He came up to the preacher after church one day and he said, when I grow up, I'm going to give you lots of money. And the preacher said, what? Why are you going to do that? Because my father said that you're the poorest preacher our church ever had. You know, kids, they just fall in line with what we just live naturally. And so I've got to make sure that my natural life is one of faith. Because would you listen to this, Psalm 109. It says, he cursed as naturally as he dressed himself, and his own curses soaked into his body like water, into his bones like oil. You see, if whatever we live naturally is just going to be us, and you're going to reproduce what you are. So you know what your greatest legacy is? Would you write it down? Your greatest legacy is your lifestyle. Your lifestyle. That's why God says, you know what the greatest commandment of all is? Here it is, man. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if you genuinely do that, you're going to reproduce that in others. In fact, let's read that together. Deuteronomy 6, go. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And listen to what Paul the Apostle says. Go. And you should follow my example just as I follow Christ. That's how we're going to reach the world. How? By reaching our families. Would you concentrate on being the man of God that He designed you biblically to be? Don't let the devil cause you to be passive. Take the authority and the place and the position lovingly that God's asked us to be in. And when you do that, you'd be surprised how we will leave a legacy to those that come behind us. Let me finish by a little story, this true story up Billy Graham School of Evangelism in Geneva, Switzerland. They're talking about how to reach the world with the gospel. So they brought all of these people from different nations and countries and said, how will you reach your people? One said, we use television. That's how we reach our nation with the gospel. Good. What about you? This other one said, well, we use shortwave radio because everyone's so dispersed in geography. We use shortwave radio. Another said, we use leaflets. Another said, we use tracks. Well, there was this one lady from the inner tribes of the Congo that was there, and God had used her in a wonderful way, and there are many, many tribes that have all come to Christ. And they said to her, you've been so successful and God's used you so much. How have you reached these so many tribes? She said, well, we don't use television because none of the people in the tribes have television. And we don't use shortwave radio because they don't have radio. And we don't use leaflets or tracts because they can't read. So they said, well, how have you reached so many tribes? She said, well, it's kind of simple. She said, we take a family that really genuinely knows Christ. And we take that family and we ask them to move and live in one of the tribes we're trying to reach. And they move there, and within 7 years, the whole tribe has come to Christ. You reach the world by reaching your family. May I encourage you and exhort you, men, to be the man of God that He's created us to be, to take the spiritual mantle that He's given to us and to use it lovingly, but never abdicate it, because when you reach your family, we will reach the world. Amen. 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 Let's stand together. Lord, thank you so very much for the men in our church. I ask that you would strengthen them to be indeed men of God, who will be those who not take advantage of, but protect the weak, to lead those who have no direction, and to begin with those right around us. Father, I pray that you will help us, even in this church, as men, to set a godly culture, even in this place, and then also in our homes. For the single men, I pray, Lord, that these principles will seep down deep into their hearts, so that as they come out of the blocks, their families will be rich in the treasures of the Lord. And we will see a generation emerge that will be filled with wonderful, world-changing leaders. Father, may it begin here. So we ask, Lord, that you would tutor us, mentor us, and help us to change the world by changing our families. Start, though, with our hearts. Because a mind may reach a mind. It's a heart that'll reach a heart. So change our hearts first so that we may reach many more and see them changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's seal that with a clap offering, would you? Thank you, Lord.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Setting of a Culture by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.